turning the pain up in fibromyalgia, the antibody mast cell connection, by Court Johnson, July 29th, 2025. How quickly things can turn. Suddenly, fibromyalgia, the forgotten complex chronic illness, or CCI, is making waves, and big ones. Move over ME/CFS and long COVID. The biggest news in the CCI world might just be coming from their mostly forgotten cousin, fibromyalgia. Talk about laying it on the line. The authors start off the recent preprint called "The Sensitizing Effect of IgG in Fibromyalgia Syndrome is Mediated by MRGPRB2 in Mast Cells," with an indisputable fact. Despite all the work on the central nervous system in fibromyalgia, the FDA-approved drugs targeting the central nervous system have largely failed. It's kind of ironic. Fibromyalgia has 3 FDA-approved drugs, ME/CFS has none, and fibromyalgia isn't that much further along treatment-wise than ME/CFS. Quote, "While many patients may experience modest improvements with light exercise, recommended medication treatment with low-dose tricyclic antidepressants and serotonin-norepinephrine reuptake inhibitors is effective in only a minority of patients, and often drug tolerance develops. This highlights the critical need for new, effective therapeutic strategies informed by a deeper understanding of the underlying pathophysiology of fibromyalgia syndrome. The big question now is whether a deeper understanding has finally been achieved. The field is certainly acting as if it may have been. Goebel's initial finding that IgG antibodies are ramping up pain levels by tweaking the satellite glial cells on the dorsal root ganglia in mice has triggered a bevy of studies. With 7 studies and papers published this far, the fibromyalgia field hasn't been this excited about anything since small fiber neuropathy popped up. It's no surprise. Thus far, the fibromyalgia antibodies have been shown to produce in rodents profound increases in pain sensitivity, reduced movement, decreased grip strength, gut issues, and reduced small nerve fiber density in the skin. Plus, in more severe fibromyalgia patients, increased binding of IgG to the satellite glial cells surrounding the sensory nerve bodies in the dorsal root ganglia, or DRG, correlates with pain intensity. If one wanted to send the central nervous system into a tizzy by amping up pain and sensory signals coming from the body, the DRG would probably be the first spot in the body to target. While it's not clear that this process is happening in all fibromyalgia patients, it all fits very well. The question remains, though, how this process is being accomplished. It appears that the IgG antibodies have clustered themselves on the satellite glial cells covering the dorsal root ganglia. We know that hyperactive satellite glial cells have been implicated in chronic pain. What we don't know, and what this paper purports to uncover, is the exact mechanism through which IgG antibodies from fibromyalgia patients are tweaking those glial cells and causing pain. Back to the study. Quote, "Our findings indicate that FMS IgG has unique properties that promote the activation of connective tissue mast cells, or CTMC," end quote. The authors. The UK Johns Hopkins group immediately went to mast cells to potentially explain the pain hypersensitivity. First, they validated the increased connective tissue mast cell skin levels found in fibromyalgia back in 1997. Next, they showed that the dorsal root ganglia were going gangbusters, ratcheting up pain levels. Then they showed that increased IgG antibody binding to the mast cells was present, suggesting that antibodies in fibromyalgia patients were activating the mast cells. When mice lacking a mast cell receptor called MRGPRX2 didn't respond negatively to the FM patient's antibodies, the mast cell levels remained normal. They concluded that antibodies were ramping up the mast cell activity. The researchers also found evidence that the FM antibodies, or fibromyalgia antibodies, were causing gut distress. When FM antibodies increase the production of IL-6 levels in human cells and histamine, tryptase levels were found to increase in FM skin cells. The deal was pretty much sealed. Mast cells commonly emit histamine and tryptase, but the IL-6 finding was really something. IL-6 upregulates histamine production, and chronic IL-6 exposure causes mast cells to become hypersensitive to stimuli. If that wasn't enough, IL-6 actually helps mast cells survive when they are exposed to low oxygen conditions. IL-6 is particularly important because it may be ground zero in the cytokine network when it comes to producing chronic pain. IL-6 hypes up the activity of the sensory and pain-producing nerves, is implicated in neuropathic and inflammatory pain, activates pain-enhancing pathways in the central nervous system, turns on the microglial cells, neuroinflammation, and, as we've seen, buddies up nicely with the mast cells. In general, fibromyalgia studies have found increased IL-6 levels, and it's believed to be a significant contributing factor. The authors noted that other factors could be turning IL-6 in fibromyalgia as well, but this was the first study suggesting that mast cells were. Earlier, using a similar passive transfer technique, the group implicated IgG antibodies in the tortuous complex regional pain syndrome, CRPS. This study, though, showed that IgG antibodies were not turning on mast cells in CRPS. And some other IgG-related process was occurring. Apparently, IgG antibodies can produce chronic pain in several ways. Fibromyalgia, a mast cell connective tissue disease? We generally don't think of fibromyalgia in terms of the immune system, let alone in terms of the rather dodgy and difficult to study mast cells. Over time, however, about a dozen studies and papers have examined mast cells in fibromyalgia. In fact, despite the interest in mast cells in ME/CFS, there's more direct evidence that mast cells are dysregulated in fibromyalgia than there is in ME/CFS. This is because increased mast cells have been found in the skin of fibromyalgia patients at least 3 times, and you can see a link to that at this point in the text version of the article. The first, back in 1990, from Sweden, suggested, get this, that IgG binding caused by mast cells to the extracellular matrix, read collagen, read connective tissues, was hampering capillary blood flows. That's very close to the Wust group's finding that the extracellular matrix problems are reducing capillary blood flows in ME/CFS, and predates the mast cell connective tissue discussion on these diseases by about 30 years. The Swedish group extended their findings in 1997 by finding higher IgG deposits in the skin and blood vessel walls, a higher reactivity to collagen, the main component in connective tissues, and higher numbers of mast cells. These problems were not, interestingly, found in rheumatoid arthritis. This was the last research linking mast cells to connective tissue problems in fibromyalgia for almost 30 years. The connective tissue findings, however, continued. In 1997, a German group found problems with the extracellular matrix collagen surrounding the nerve fibers and evidence of connective tissue disease in fibromyalgia. They suggested that remodeling of the extracellular matrix and collagen deposition around the nerve fibers in fibromyalgia was contributing to the lower pain thresholds. In 2005 and 2007, a Danish group found that reduced levels of collagen in the skin, lower levels of intramuscular collagen, which could lower the threshold for muscle micro-injury, and evidence of dysregulated collagen metabolism. That was it for collagen findings in fibromyalgia for almost 20 years. In 2025, though, Dr. Eileen Ruhoy started off her discussion of complex chronic illnesses like ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID in her book, Invisible No More. With sections on connective tissue dysfunction and mast cell activity, and noted what a high concentration of mast cells are found in connective tissues. She reported that connective tissues hold every organ, blood vessel, and nerve fiber and muscle in place and considers connective tissue problems a major feature of these diseases. Treatment. Potential therapeutic targets are what we want. And this study has two to suggest. There's the MRGPRX2 receptor present on connective tissue mast cells, and there's IL-6, a star performer when it comes to producing chronic pain. The mast cells. One of my first reactions to reading the paper was that it had to be the mast cells. Why couldn't it be the T cells? Instead, it had to be quirky, difficult to measure mast cells. For all the interest in mast cells at the clinical level, I could not find one study that actually assessed mast cell levels in ME/CFS. No mast cell clinical trials have been done in either ME/CFS or fibromyalgia. Mast cell treatments, of course, can be helpful and even inexpensive, but it can take time to find what works. Most doctors are unaware of them, and the effects, while helpful, tend to be moderate. That said, the Open Medicine Foundation's Treat Me survey found that MCAS, or mast cell activation syndrome, treatments were among the more commonly effective treatments. Of the 15 MCAS treatments assessed, only two were rated as moderate or much better by less than 10% of patients. Four MCAS treatments were rated well by between 10 and 20% of patients, and eight by between 20 and 30% of patients. Two were reported by over 30% of patients, ketotifen plus H2RA and H1RA plus H2RA. I believe that's referring to combinations of antihistamines and ketotifen, was rated to moderately or much improve their symptoms. Note that combinations of mast cell treatments seem to work best. Check out more in Table 3, circled in blue, of the supporting documents, which lists the percentage of patients who moderately to much improved using mast cell inhibitors. You can see a link to that recent blog, Treat Me, the Open Medicine Foundation's Mammoth ME/CFS and Long COVID Treatment Survey Results, at this point in the text version of the article. The list of mast cell inhibiting drugs, cromolyn, ketotifen, and H1-H2 blockers, and several others, as well as supplements such as luteolin, quercetin, nettle, bromelain, skullcap, and resveratrol, is fairly long. Other mast cell drugs approved for systemic mastocytosis, which is different from mast cell activation syndrome, such as avapritinib, do not appear to be used much. Others, such as omalizumab, can be difficult to get. If mast cell activation syndrome plays a major role in ME/CFS and allied diseases, we clearly need better tools to diagnose and study it, and better treatments for it. Some treatment help may be on the horizon. Particularly interesting are a new class of highly selective, potent, orally active drugs that target the MRGPRX2 receptor, which was highlighted in this study. Other drugs include next-generation tyrosine kinase inhibitors, such as mastinib and nintedanib, a mast cell number reducer. How soon any of these might become available is, of course, unclear. The ultimate target? Note that this study suggests mast cells are an intermediary step in fibromyalgia. Since the more proximal cause is the IgG antibodies that trigger them, B-cell depleting, antibody depleting, or antibody regulating treatments could have a role to play. Indeed, one scenario that the failure of the adaptive immune system results in a compensatory response from the innate immune system suggests that treatments focused on other parts of the immune system could rein in the mast cells. On that note, IVIG was the most efficacious treatment found in the Treat Me ME/CFS Long COVID survey. With that, the 380-person IVIG Recover Initiative Long COVID Dysautonomia study is looking more exciting all the time. IL-6 inhibitors. We're on a bit stronger ground with IL-6 inhibiting drugs. While the list of approved IL-6 inhibiting drugs is not a long one, IL-6 inhibiting drugs also appear to be a growth field, and one, tocilizumab, has already been tested in fibromyalgia. You can see a link to that at this point, the text version of the blog. A case series of 6 patients found moderate reductions in pain and significant improvements in energy and sleep quality after 4 to 12 weeks of treatment. A small test of an IL-6 inhibitor, anakinra, in ME/CFS failed to show benefits. Multiple drug companies are developing a variety of IL-6 inhibiting drugs and planning to use them in combination therapies with JAK-STAT inhibitors, plus biosimilar, cheaper versions of tocilizumab and other established IL-6 drugs are entering the market. One analysis predicted the IL-6 market will see considerable development over the next 10 years and stated that the discovery of fresh IL-6 signaling functions in chronic diseases drives fast market innovations and strategic alliances. JAK inhibitors can also reduce IL-6 levels, and a major JAK-STAT inhibitor study, baricitinib, is underway in long COVID. And you can see a link to that at this point in the text version of the blog. Rinvoq is another JAK inhibitor that is not currently being trialed, but did produce a remarkable recovery in a very sick ME/CFS patient. And again, you can see the link to that here. Conclusion. While these findings seem to line up nicely, they are mice-human studies and need to be validated by other groups. The senior author, Jinghong Dong, is the scientific founder of and consultant for Escient Pharmaceuticals, a pharmaceutical company that is developing MRGPR-targeting drugs. And after all the problems getting the drug industry involved in ME/CFS, I was actually happy to see industry involved in this study. All in all, this is a rare study that purports to possibly be getting at core biological mechanisms that are producing pain, fatigue, gut issues, and other problems in a considerable number of fibromyalgia patients. Finding a problem receptor on a cell is potentially big news in any disease, as turning it off can stop a disease process in its tracks. Since problems found in FM could translate to ME/CFS and or long COVID, the finding is of interest in these diseases as well. A fascinating merging of these fields around the mast cell and connective tissue issues in fibromyalgia may be occurring. Time will tell. We're not nearly done with satellite glial cell findings in fibromyalgia. More on them is coming up. Like the blog, please support Health Rising. You can either give one time or monthly at the link at the end of the text version of the blog, just before the comments section. Thanks for listening.